Good afternoon. Welcome to Who's Tom and Dick? With your hosts, Martin Weavers and Patrick Mortimer.
Good afternoon,
howdy.
Patrick.
How are you doing? Back again like a rat up a drainpipe. Funny little joke between us there.
That's right, yeah.
Yes, anyway, how are you all doing? I hope you're doing well. We're back again.
Yeah.
7 days have passed. And
don't they go really quick?
I know. I just seem to, you know, finish one podcast and then we're here recording the next.
Because believe it or not, we do actually research this, don't we?
Well, you wouldn't know, but yeah, we do. We try and put something together that makes sense.
Yeah.
Number one question on my mind, and I haven't forgotten about it since last week. How is your toe?
Oh, do you know, I'm glad you asked me that.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Well, I've still got the boot on, and I've hopefully only a couple more weeks, and then I can get back to my cancer tablets. But
yeah.
It's really frustrating that I can't have those tablets, but anyway, I'll let you all know when I go back. I'll let you know when I'm back on my tablets.
Let me know when you're back on the road, will you?
Yeah, I will do. Yeah, when
I'll
I'm driving.
Stay off it. Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, yeah. Oh well, I hope it gets better soon. There's nothing more you can do with a broken toe other than let it heal itself. Isn't it?
I know, and that's all I am doing really.
Which is frustrating. So, what are we talking about this week?
Well, we've had lots of correspondence, so I thought what we could do is sort of tie it all up and sort of read them out and do them all in one go, because, you know, rather than have sort of one week and two next week.
Yeah, well, I mean, we're getting correspondence all the time, so these are going to get out of date if we're not careful. And, of course, we'll have a chance to catch up on some of those. I've got a couple here too. So do you want to fire away with one, Martin?
Yeah, we had a couple of on the Who's Tom and Dick Facebook page, which was from anonymous participants,
okay.
which we don't mind if they're anonymous,
no,
do we?
No, definitely not.
Well, we wanted just the people to, you know, contact us. And so I have replied to them, but and I'll just read out what we put on here. But I just wanted to make sure that they know that we're thinking of them, mm-hmm. and that we do, you know, take all their letters and correspondence seriously. So they put, hi, I'm new to this group. I recently joined because I'm 10 days post-op for breast cancer, and I really haven't been told much about anything, hoping for information and a better understanding of it all,
yep.
Which seems to me 10 days, you know, post-op
yeah.
And no correspondence.
I do tend to think that you sort of get discharged from some of these places, and they say, right, we've done that one, let's get on to the next one. Whether that's right or wrong, I have no idea. But that seems to be the case in some of these cases, doesn't
it? Well, you were talking about resources for different hospitals, weren't you? You know, saying that some have got more money and, you know, put money into other things. So, but a thing like that, it seems, you know, and I just replied and I said, you know, thanks for listening and contacting us. And unfortunately, we're not qualified to give out much advice, really, because I said to the anonymous participant, I would pound their local GP and nurses for all the information they can get.
Yeah,
because they're the ones who are treating them.
Yeah, and don't be afraid to knock on the door and ask the question if you feel concerned, because there's nothing worse than that going around in your head. You know, just if you're not getting the information, ask for it.
Yeah, probably. I mean, we prime examples of this. I mean, we ask so many questions, don't we, Pat?
Yeah, I think I ask more questions now, and I've learnt more in the last 6 to 8 weeks than I've known since the whole 4 years I've had my heart disease.
That's because you're doing a podcast, you see.
Exactly, and I'm looking into questions that other people have asked that I haven't even thought of.
Yeah, no, it is true.
Pound on the doors of these professionals if you need advice or support. That's what they're there for. They won't worry about you doing that if you've got concerns.
But also, my hospital, every time I go in, I mean, even with my toe, I had a letter sent to me telling me all about what had happened and what treatment I had and what was going to happen going forward.
Right.
So I can't understand why that hospital's not doing that. But
we don't know whether that's a UK question, do we?
We don't know. We
US
don't know
question.
Where it's from. But
no.
But thank you for the the correspondence, and wish you well and good luck and a speedy recovery as well. Another person, anonymous participant, put, I joined as my dad has been diagnosed with terminal prostate cancer, which has spread to his bones. Any advice would be gratefully received. Well, we're going to do one on prostate cancer eventually, aren't we? We don't know what sort of week it's going to be, but we will speak about it. I put, out of the two of us, it's me that's got the cancer, and I'd say to your dad to keep a PMA, which isn't always easy, and to always think someone is there to care for him, hence yourself writing in. I mean, that person's done that straight away, so you know that person's caring for their dad. I've had the best news that my cancer has shrunk by trying out these new pills that I'm on. Apparently, I'm only the second person to use these tablets, and they're always finding new cures. I find it best to talk about my cancer, hence starting our podcasts. I hope by listening to my ongoing reports, that'll help your dad to stay focused and positive too. And they put a big thank you for that, you know, for even replying. So
it's frustrating when you can't come up with an answer for people who write in. But I mean, we're not a Google or a
doctor,
Wikipedia or a doctor.
No.
We try and help where we can, but consult your specialist as the advice probably there, and get them to give you all the information you need.
Yes, 100%. Going back to a podcaster just before Christmas, we was talking about the bell. And in the cancer unit, and we spoke about it with Dr. Patterson, didn't we? And you mentioned when we dedicated the episode to Sarah Barclay, you said, did his wife ring the bell? And I didn't know that, so I did my homework on it, and I contacted Gary, and she didn't ring the bell. And the reason was because she wasn't in hospital at the time. What had happened is Sarah got a written letter. There was a written letter to a dermatological doctor from the cancer doctor saying that she was in full remission with no signs of cancer in 6 months. So it was a letter sort of correspondence rather than her being physically in hospital and being able to ring a bell.
Yeah, that's so interesting to hear Dr. Patterson's view of the bell. A very sort of well-answered question that was, I think. And it is great to have something to ring for family and friends as well, but for others, that's not so great.
But what I liked about it was that his answer was more or less the same as the answer we said, didn't we? Where it's not so nice for somebody who's got real terminal cancer and who will never ever recover, and they hear someone ringing a bell, because they won't ever recover. So and he said that more or less, didn't he?
He also said that they've got no ward bell on his cancer ward.
I know, but I'm certain I've seen a bell there.
Yeah, you sure you just heard something?
I think what he meant was on his ward.
Right, okay.
There's one in the children's ward, which I don't think he's part of the because I think that's all different illnesses rather than just cancer.
Yeah.
So, there's definitely a bell in there.
Okay.
But Hazel Wood, who contributes a lot to the show.
Good old Hazel.
Yeah.
She always adds a good question.
I've known her for years and years, and she's known me since I was knee-high to a grasshopper.
Right. It's going back a long time.
It is. Well, she remembers me being born, I think. But she said that the podcast we did about the ladies in America with a breast cancer, she said that was especially poignant because her daughter Hayley had breast cancer, and thank heavens, says Hazel, that she did get to ring the bell. And I remember that when Hayley did that, because I've known Hayley, her daughter, who lives in the village near me.
Yeah.
And I wrote to her on Facebook, because she put on Facebook that she rang the bell, and I put a message to her on Facebook. So we're pleased for the whole family there, Hazel, and keep listening, and thank you very much for all your contributions.
Yeah, I think we ought to point out we're not negative bell ringers in here. We're just getting different sides of the story about the bell, because it does play such a major part now in cancer recovery.
Oh, yeah.
But it's not always the same for everybody, is it?
No. This was a nice one that I got from an old school buddy. He just sent a message to say he's really enjoying the podcast. Now, that really, really meant a lot because, I mean, you don't always keep in contact with all your people that you go to school with. And just out of the blue, to get a nice message like that, It was really, really nice. So, that was from Keith Game. And then this last one on this little list here, I've got another one that I want to read out to you as well. My sister, she listens to the show every week and love it a bit. She sends me a text saying, excellent, really enjoyed it, blah, blah, blah. So I went out for a meal with her and all my brothers the other day.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I said to her, I'll tell you what, I'll give you a big shout-out if you want. No. She said, I don't want no shout-out, so I won't be mentioning Jackie Halls.
Right.
Okay.
Who was that, Jackie Halls?
Jackie Halls.
No, don't mention her.
I'm not going to mention her at all.
Okay, mate.
So, good. she's going to kill me.
Yeah, I've got one here following our breast cancer special from Karen, and I want to read this out because obviously that was a while ago now and she's probably going to think we forgot her. And
she said, don't forget anybody.
No, we don't. We've got a whole list of paperwork in front of us, of questions, and we try and bring them in when they're appropriate.
Yeah.
But this one I want to bring in. She says, hi, what things are helping you cope? I have stage 4 breast cancer and I don't know whether I can cope. What answers would you give her for that?
Wow. Yeah. Well, it's a big shock.
Yeah.
You know, to be diagnosed with cancer, that's the first thing I can say. So I don't know how, did she say how long she's had it for?
No, she didn't.
Yeah. She needs the support of all her loved ones. She needs good correspondence with her team. She must have a team behind her who, you know, treat her with the oncology and everything like that. And her doctor. I've got a specialist nurse as well that I can call at any time.
Yeah.
So,
When you get that news, you must go through a really dark period, even if you are have got a positive mental attitude, because that hits you like a brick wall, doesn't it? So
it does. I mean, I know.
I mean, when you got your news,
I don't remember it being dark. I remember crying a lot. And my wife cried a lot as well. We, you know, if you call that dark, but we still had this, you know, once we saw Dr. Patterson, that was the turning point.
So prior to seeing Dr. Patterson, did you go immediately on Google when you got home?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think that takes you into a dark place.
Yes. Yeah. I told Dr. Patterson that when we met him, denying his smile. People couldn't see his reaction. But he did smile when I said, you know, what I did.
Well, it's a natural thing to do, isn't it? You know,
Dr. Google is not right.
And the thing is about all of this, and something we've learned, is that when you go and Google lung cancer, there's no lung cancer. They're all different cancers.
Yeah.
So you might be easily Googling the wrong one and getting all the wrong results and making you worse in your head.
Yeah,
just because you're reading the wrong one, you've got to try and avoid that sort of thing. I know it's easy to say. You need to understand first what the name of your cancer, lung cancer is in this case, is the actual name. And then if you have to Google that name.
That's right. Yeah, good advice.
Because most people just put in lung cancer.
Yeah.
And to be honest with you, I thought all lung cancer was the same.
So did I until I got it.
Yeah. If you listen to Dr. P's interview last week, you know, he explains the differences in lung cancer, which are quite interesting, especially the smoker's lung cancer.
It's interesting, isn't it? Well, I actually, you know, I enjoyed the interview, but I actually enjoyed listening to his answers as well.
Yeah.
So, we hope you did as well.
I think you were sitting there not as a patient this time.
Yeah.
You were sitting there as an interviewer, and you sort of... It just gives you a different perspective on it, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, it was a role reversal, really, wasn't it? Because whereas I go to the hospital and he, you know, he's the person who's in control of everything, where we do this podcast, we've been doing it so long now, we know what we're doing, don't we? He knows exactly what he's doing for his day-to-day job. He didn't know what to expect when he came into it, did he?
No.
So it was a kind of role reversal, so... And I felt, you know, I felt very, very at ease with him.
Yeah.
So have you got another
one? I've got another one here, heart-related this time. Have you ever worn a life vest? Now, to be honest with you, I had to look this up because I've never heard of a life vest.
No, nor have I.
And apparently, a life vest is a wearable defibrillator for patients at risk of sudden cardiac arrest.
Right.
So I didn't even know these existed. Now, these vests are worn against the skin. So you put them on first thing, and then your shirt over the top, etc. And you wear this life vest, and that's monitoring your heart all the time. It's really worn by people who have dangerously fast heart rhythms. And it can apply an electrical shock if necessary.
Oh.
So heart life vests cost around about £1,700 to £2,000. So quite expensive bits of kit. But they are out there. And obviously, I've learned something there myself today.
Yeah, I tell you what, it's a wonder they're not sort of, you know, banded around more.
But the answer to the question is no. I've never worn a life vest. So
no, would you think about buying one?
I've not been told to wear one.
No.
So I don't think that's a necessity.
No.
But obviously some people, it is.
Mm.
So, but if I was told to wear one, I'd wear one. Simple as that. You know, well, you know me.
As you go further down the line, you always ought to keep something like that in mind.
Thanks, Martin.
Yeah.
You're a cheerful old boy at times.
No, you have to. No, this is to help. This is to help you.
I know. I mean, as I say, I'm monitored quite regularly. So if they told me to wear one, I'd wear one. But
yeah.
I don't think it's appropriate for me because my heart doesn't actually race.
Yeah.
So I think it might be specific to that. I might have to look into that. We'll have to do a special on a life vest, perhaps.
Yeah, it's worth looking into. Because we are going to do, as I said, you know, we're going to do one on testicular cancer as well 1 week. We're going to do another podcast on strokes and recovering from a stroke. And
yeah.
So we've got lots in the pipeline that we're going to talk about. So my last correspondence is from Gary again, Gary Barkley. He was saying that after the podcast we dedicated to Sarah when she's in complete remission after 6 months, he put, we both listened to it. Thank you for dedicating the episode to Sarah. It's fantastic you both talk about these topics and give off positive vibes, but honest vibes too. It gives listeners a sense of positivity when hearing stories of positive outcomes like yourself and Sarah, and of course the two ladies from America. It will really help others who feel there's nothing left for them to feel positive about and their diagnosis and to keep up the fight. The show's very informative and interesting. And you and Patrick are doing a sterling job in simply talking about everyday issues that can be deemed as a difficult topic. I think it's amazing, mate. And once again, thank you so much. That's nice,
thanks.
Isn't it?
It's nice to receive one like that.
Yeah.
We've had a couple like that recently, haven't we?
We have, yeah. And he also put, he loves me millions.
Yeah, here's one for you. Gary. Gary has said, hi, what is the story on food and cancer? Is it proven what you eat or don't eat helps you recover from cancer or increase the risk of cancer? Well, I think Dr. P answered that one the week before last, didn't he? He did say that some of the natural foods can help the recovery process or help the treatment to a certain extent.
Mm.
But so that's not all namby-pamby, as we call it in the UK. Yes, there is some positivity, especially around honey, I think. A lot of people have honey to help something to do with the blood cells. You've got to have a certain amount of blood count before they'll give you a treatment.
Yeah.
And apparently, from what I've read, honey can help that blood cell count be in the right place.
Yeah, well, I was given tablets for the exact same thing, to bring my blood cells up.
Yeah,
because the counts had to be exactly right. And then I had another one because my white cells would fight against my red blood cells. So it's amazing what all this chemotherapy does to your body, but this is all in when they're sort of fighting it and all things like that.
John says, does anyone else get a pain or have a pain where the tumor is? And if so, how do you deal with it?
Well,
do you get a pain where your tumour was?
Mine was obviously all around the lung.
Yeah.
And I've never known it to be all around the lung, but at the bottom of my rib cage, obviously, which covers my lung, now and again I'll get an ache. And I think that's going to be natural, because there's going to be a certain amount of movement, I think, in there. And when it's changing all the time, isn't it? It's, you know, especially with my lung, I mean, it's been full of cancer, then it's shrunk, and then it's, you know, a bit more come back, and then it's shrunk again. So I think with constant movement like that, you are bound to get definitely an ache.
Yeah, it's funny because Hannah actually answered that question on the Facebook page, and she said, I had severe pain in the location of my tumour, left hip and pelvis. Before treatment, she had a, a drug, and I'm not sure how to pronounce this. This is our favourite again. Mm-hmm. Prednisolone.
Prednisolone.
Is that how you pronounce it?
I have that.
It helped for short-term relief. It calmed the inflammation and eased sensitivity to the area. So you had that same drug, did you?
Yeah, I'm just looking up the other drugs that I have because there's several ones that you can get that help with the pain and all that. So, but definitely Prednisolone I had, and I'm going to tell you the exact names of the other ones.
This one is actually spelt Prednisolone for those that want to look that up or speak to their oncologist about it.
It's a steroid.
Is it?
Yeah. And currently, this was the one where on one of the podcasts I spoke about going to see them to come off these steroids.
Yeah.
And what they did, they lowered it down to 3 grams each morning. So when I go back in January, I've got to go and see them again. Hopefully I'll be down to 2. But when I was in hospital, I was on 8 grams of it. Eight of those 1 gram tablets.
Yeah.
So I do have prednisolone. I also have allopurinol in the morning, but that's for gout. And why I have one for gout, I don't know, but I should perhaps ask my doctor that one. And pregabalin and the morphine tablets I have as well. And I also have on standby for pain liquid morphine as well.
Yeah.
So, which is the one I overdosed on in Bradford. That's what I have in the morning. And then in the afternoons, I have pregabalin again and morphine, or that's early evening. And then late at night, I have the pravastatin and the famotidine. So when I said to you I have a statin,
yeah,
that must be in there because it's called pravastatin.
Yeah, that's another statin.
So that's all the sort of the treatment I have. But as I said, you know, for pain, I've got this liquid morphine that I have any time that I need it.
Yeah.
Or, as I said, I'm always on, as well as those, every time I take those tablets, I take the paracetamols as well.
Okay.
And I can have Ibro when needed.
Okay. Yeah, well, I'm not allowed anything other than paracetamol. Mm. Now, I only really take that for headaches, but I've stopped taking that since my wife's specialist told her that paracetamol doesn't help headaches. So
really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I've stopped taking that now, so, and just put up with the headache, and that eventually goes.
How's she getting on with this? Because for her migraines and her headaches, she was told to stop drinking coffee.
Yeah, she's getting on really well with that. You know, she's been suffering with migraines for years and years and years, and now after seeing a specialist from Harley Street, he's narrowed it down to coffee and tomatoes.
Mm-hmm.
She stopped both, and so far, touch wood, and you're going to hear a touch wood here, that she's doing really well and made a huge difference.
Wow.
So, yeah, perhaps we'll touch on migraines one day.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Ralph. People, this is a heart-related question, following my ejection fraction story. People with low ejection fraction, what is your average heart rate? That's an interesting question. I've had 3 people answer this, or 4, in fact. Graham being the first, and he said his heart rate is 120 to 130 beats a minute, which I struggle to believe. But if that's the case, that's the case. I do really struggle to believe that one, because most people with EF seem to have a low heartbeat.
EF, ejection fraction.
Yeah. Thanks for clearing that one up, Martin. Steph, my husband has a pacemaker, and his is 61 beats per minute. And 20 to 30 without it. So, yep, the pacemaker's obviously doing its job.
Yeah.
Senya, ejection fraction of 10%, and her heart rate is 70 to 75 beats per minute. And Janelle, I hope I've pronounced that right, he's got an ejection fraction of 43%, and his resting heart rate is 62 beats per minute. So it's quite variable. So again, you know, if you're Googling this, you're not going to get an answer for yourself. Speak to your cardiologist.
Definitely.
You know, that's what we keep stressing here.
Oh, yeah.
Is that the serious bits over?
Well, I've got no more messages, but...
I've got a few more here, but I think we'll save a couple for another day. But I think we'll have, you know, we'll lighten the mood, I think.
It's not that time, is it?
And this is where most of our listeners turn off. It's time for Martin's Joke of the Week.
Oh, thank you. Well, I've just heard that in the English Channel, a ship carrying red paint has collided with a ship carrying purple paint. It's believed that both crews have been marooned.
That's not a bad one, actually, Martin, is it, really?
for me, you mean?
Yeah, yeah. So Martin's compiling these jokes at the moment. So if you've got any jokes that you think is better than that,
yeah,
then we'd ask you to present them to us because we do need... you know, some good jokes.
That's the listener's challenge.
That's the listener's challenge.
Try to beat me on my jokes.
We've got to keep them clean.
Oh, yes.
And I've got to be free from politically correct. PC.
Yeah, that's right.
Politically correct. Because I have had a couple of jokes put forward to me and I couldn't repeat them, actually.
No, people come up to us in the street, here's a joke for your podcast. You know, not loads of people, but a couple of people.
So where do you get your jokes from, Martin, just out of interest?
I used to be a comedian.
Did you?
Yeah. I used to work with you.
So, that's right, yeah. I can't remember laughing, though.
It's because you was concentrating so much.
Yeah. So do you pick these out the back of your mind, or are you constantly on the lookout for these jokes?
I'm always on the lookout.
Yeah.
Yeah, just for a little bit of fun. I flick through Facebook.
Yeah.
And, you know, different I just Google things.
All right. So, okay. The trouble is, comedians these days, unless they put some swear words in their routine, they don't think they're funny, do they?
No. Well, I went to see a comedian the other day, just before Christmas, actually, and it was nice that I've been in the industry since 1991, and he was still doing music, still doing jokes that I'd never heard of.
All right.
And that was really nice and refreshing. Because normally they start on this and that and that and that, and you think, yeah, I've heard that. But it was nice that he done some jokes I hadn't heard of.
Well, later this year, and it's not very far away now, April, I believe, we have actually booked tickets, and the Americans won't probably know this, but or this comedian, but we've booked tickets to see Jimmy Tarbuck.
Yeah.
Who's now in his 80s.
Yes.
And it'll be interesting to hear his story and his jokes, but he was a great comedian in his time. He's probably a bit dated now.
And I've actually met him, haven't I?
And you've actually met him.
Mm.
You know, you showed him to the toilets, didn't you? I'm not lying, am I?
No, didn't we mention this on the podcast?
I think we might have done, yeah.
Yeah, when he came up to me, I was at a very, very nice do-up in the Dorchester Hotel in London, and I had a white jacket on, black trousers, white shirt and a red dicky bow. And it didn't spin or nothing like that. But I stood at the end of this table hoping he was going to get up so I could just have a chat to him. Because obviously being a comedian and he was a fantastic comedian from years ago, I just wanted a quick chat to him. And he came up to me and he said, "Excuse me, sir." So I looked over and I thought, I said, "Yes." He said, "Could you show me where the loos are, please?" So I said, "Do you think I'm one of the waiters?" He went, you're not? I went, "No." I said, "But the loos are over there." I said, "But before you do go," I said, "can I have a selfie?" And we had a selfie taken.
Oh, so, right. So he's obviously not seen your show then, or?
No, hadn't even heard of me.
Well, funnily enough, he's been getting into trouble recently as well. Because
should we mention that?
Well, apparently, this is apparently, he drove into three cars and drove off. And when the police got to speak to him, he couldn't remember that damage or driving into the cars. So I'm a little bit concerned about if he'll remember his routines and acts when we see him.
Or me.
Or even you, yeah. I'm sure you'll stand up because this show is about his life and everything. So it's life stories,
right,
as well as a bit of comedy thrown in.
Yeah.
So I'm sure he'll ask the audience some questions. And we've, of course, got seats right at the front. So I dare say Mr. Weavers will stand up at some point. I'm sure he will.
Oh, me? All shy and retiring?
Yeah, and ask some questions and put poor old Jimmy in his place.
Yeah. No, that'd be nice. It'd be great. I can't wait to see the show.
So we've got the pub landlord, Al Murray. He's following us now.
Yeah.
He's a good comedian. He's reasonably clean for an act on stage. I've seen him a couple of three times now.
Someone else I've met.
Yeah.
So I'll have to put some pictures on the website and then people will know who they are.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
And we've got Billy Pierce as well.
Billy Pierce is following us now. And also Michael Barrymore,
yeah,
who was a Comedy Award winner right through the 80s and 90s.
We appeared on his TV show, didn't we?
We did. Many years ago, we were there. Yeah, so I'll have to see if I can get him on the podcast.
That'd be fantastic, that would.
Anyway, Martin, you know what it is, don't you?
No.
Already, we've got through that 30 minutes. Oh, we've spoken a lot of old gibberish, really, haven't we, most of the time? Apart from the questions and answers, I hope you enjoy those.
Well, it's just two old mates having a little chat here, really, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's nice to be able to record this podcast now the digger has gone. Martin is having a new drive put in and had a digger right
we
outside.
We got interrupted, didn't we?
Got interrupted by the digger driver who happened to be working right outside the window.
We had a hum and a buzz and everything in our earphones, didn't we?
So we took a break, had a cup of tea, and now we're back. They've gone home and that's a lot quieter out here now.
Yeah.
So, well, next week we'll be back.
Yes.
Same place, same time.
Look forward to you joining us.
And have a lovely weekend, everybody.
Thanks for tuning in.
Take care and stay safe.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye, everyone. Bye.